praise Him. Let's praise Him together for that grace and for Your mercy, Lord. We're so very thankful. We're so very thankful. We're so very thankful, Lord, and we do need it. We do need it. We do need it. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Would you just, from your standing right now, would you just, let's do that again. We can't thank Him enough for His mercy and for His grace. Lord, oh God, we could recount instances, God. We could give examples of how good and how graceful You have been and how long-suffering and how forgiving. And Lord, just for us to be here is a wonderful blessing, feeling what we feel today. Thank You for the blessing of Your presence and the power of Your Word, the value of Your Word. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. As a preface to what I'm about to preach today, I want you to hear me out this morning, please. And if need be, consider the 38 years of pastoral ministry and some 45 years of total ministry. So allow me some leeway here. I've decided to change my ministry approach. I'm going to say some things and preach about some things that I don't normally stand for, and this church has not stood for. I've thought this through, and I've been very deliberate about what I'm about to do and say and preach. The text I will use is Luke 16 and verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And we acknowledge hell is talked about there, as well as various other places. But the current mindset of society, and if you really try to think things through the way education or this life, this culture would want you to, the current mindset seems to align more with the people that Peter identifies in 2 Peter chapter 3. And they say in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, we haven't seen him do anything to punish the wicked. So why should we believe that there will be a day of judgment? And this seems can seem to make sense. At least it did to me. And if we haven't seen his judgment yet, it might could lead us to validly believe that even if there is judgment and hell, it may not be as bad as we think it is. So I'm going to use that as my core thought today and title, and that is that hell may not be as bad as we have always made it to sound. Now, one thing I know is that hell won't be bad in its attendance or its numbers, because from what we described, there's great crowds in hell. And going by surveys and people's own profession of non-belief in God, some statistics say that 2 to 3 people go to hell every second. So there's going to be huge crowds in hell. And so you'll not be lonely. If how many are there means more than where you are. You know, that idea of following the crowd, let's go with the majority. If that is our rule of thumb, then I think we can truly say hell will not be as bad as we've thought it to be. The Bible talks about a bottomless pit and hell enlarging herself in Isaiah. So people will not be overcrowded. They're going to have their space. And now I'm not talking only geographically, but we talk about that emotionally, and when it comes to our belief, we'll have our own space. In fact, by the Bible's own description, there's this great gulf that's fixed, and those that want to pass from one side to the other cannot, no matter which way they would want to go. So a person, and if you should end up in hell, you will be segregated and separated from some that you have not wanted to identify with, and that's not all that bad. I mean, like those people, they get on my nerves with their spiritual priorities. They talk about eternity and prayer and heaven and hell. There's that great gulf fixed, and so even if they wanted to, they won't be able to get to you, and you probably don't already want to get to him. Now, there's heaven and hell. There's at least glimpses or images of heaven, according to this word from Jesus, where that rich man could see off into that better place. So heaven is going to be in hell. I'm making the case that just maybe there could have, you know, we've just been a little narrow in our description. There's memory. There's even family memories in hell. The rich man thought about his parents. He talked about his father's house. He thought about his five brothers. Family memories are good, And so maybe not all that bad. And prayer. Now, either way you look at it, you could see it as good, because nobody there is going to feel the pressure of any call to prayer. I don't care what it is, prayer meeting, pre-service prayer, altar calls, personal daily prayer. And for anybody that has an aversion to prayer, you know, I mean, hell's not all that bad. And yet, on the other hand, prayer is going to be there. So in case somebody rides the fence about that notion, it's not all that bad, because prayer's going to be there. But hell praying is not because someone makes a call for prayer. It's going to be self-initiated, and that's a good thing. Any self-initiated prayer is a good thing and a good purpose. So there's going to be prayer, and in hell, people in hell do not have this wild perspective, of wrong perspective. Little things that were taken for granted before will be appreciated in hell. Little things like one finger and the tip of a finger and one drop of water on the tip of that finger will mean just a whole lot. In hell, value systems get corrected. And sometimes we get so frustrated with the wrong value systems here, but I suppose you could say the good news in hell is there's right value systems, little things. This man evidently had taken the word of God for granted earlier, but in hell, there's this new respect for God and for his word. And you almost have to applaud somebody for that. At least they're believing in the word of God. And there is belief, by the way, and there's faith In this account, the man believed in prayer because it says, and he prayed. And he believed, he refers to the mercy of God and the word of God. And he wanted witnessing and discipleship to happen. And he believed in repentance. And he believed in many things that are scriptural. So faith is evident and definite in hell. And the rich man, he remembered some important characters in his life, like Abraham and Moses, and even had a glimpse of them. He had no disrespect or disregard for their spiritual leadership or their lifestyle. It's very likely that in hell, from what we read here, you will carry respect for godly spiritual people in your life, and you will not harbor any ill feeling or disobedience or disrespect toward them or toward their godly influence or leadership or advice. In fact, to me, one of the things that would make hell not as bad is people are going to be maybe more respectful toward God and His Word and His people in eternity in hell than they would be even this morning. As I said, the man believed in and repentance. Repentance was thick and it's thick and heavy in hell. It's thick. It permeates the very culture of hell. People will believe in repentance, and some of them, not all, but there will be many who will be repenting in hell. And any time there is repentance, when we feel that in a service like this one, it's always a good thing. In hell, people are going to believe in what I'm doing right now in preaching. And what the Sunday school teachers did in the early... They are going to believe in preaching and teaching. He used the terminology. He said, I want somebody to go and testify, was the word he used, which means, it was a court term, which means present a passionate, strong, and definite argument. Anybody that felt averse to that kind of preaching on earth, their value system is going to flip and they're going to want passionate, strong preaching in hell. And us preachers, we like it when people... That's why I'm saying it may not be as bad. There's going to be belief in preaching and belief in the Word of God, and there's going to be a desire to hear somebody just get really clear and get very plain. And, of course, just naturally, we're going to have some of our natural senses. The scripture says that the rich man lifted up his eyes. He had vision. Now, admittedly, the verse mentions torment. But the point is, there's going to be feeling. There's going to be touch. So I didn't want to bring that up, but in trying to be transparent, needed to bring it out. But let's not try to think so much about that, because that's negative, that torment feeling, that's negative. So let's just do what we do with a lot of other decisions and changes we don't want to deal with here. Let's ease our conscience and let's explain it away. And let's make eternity turn out the way we want it to turn out. There's got to be some better times. I know there's torment, but there's got to be some better times. And I just rather think of eternity and hell in my own terms, as you can tell by what I am saying and preaching this morning. But here's the reality. Hell is real. And hell is as bad, and I would add, even worse than you and I think it is. There will be crowds, probably some of the greatest crowds ever amassed. At the same time, there will be the most intense loneliness ever experienced. Millions will be there, but most there will be concerned about themselves. Not all, as we see from this parable, but so many. And I might quickly add, being wrapped up in self and only interested in self could pave the way for somebody to end up there. Lots of room, that bottomless pit that he talked about. That's giving the idea of that sensation of an accidental, horrible, and high fall. Some of you have fallen distances, and you can probably think about, if you choose to, and you'd rather probably not, think about the feeling of falling from a very high place, and there was nothing to hold on to, and there was nothing to land our feet on. In a miniature way, it's kind of like when you step off of some step and didn't expect that there was going to be a step down. Or when you're dreaming and you are falling, that fear just maybe quickly grips you. But this is not going to be a quick gripping. Not in a bottomless pit. That fear is going to keep coming. There won't be any, I finally landed, I'm finally safe. There isn't any safety in hell, and there's no really landing in any good position in hell. A bottomless pit may sound like it makes for a lot of space and a lot of room. But there will be, and this falling thing, none of us like to do that, but when you fall in darkness, it increases or accelerates and amplifies the feeling and the nervousness that you feel. And the scripture describes that darkness of that place, which will increase the fear of that feeling of falling. Heaven, glimpses of heaven will be in hell. Whether it's an actual view or whether it's mental images of memories. When you have read about heaven, or when we would sing about heaven, or when you would hear heaven preached, there's memory in hell. Heaven's going to make its impact on hell. I wish to the Lord it would make its impact at Barracks View today, but I know this, it's going to make its impact in hell. But those glimpses will not give comfort, but they're going to stir more mental anguish and more torment and distress than ever before. There's going to be memories there, good and bad, of family. There's going to be good memories of godly family members. I guess you could call them good, but they're going to be bad because of their effects, the regrets that we're going to have. And the remorse that we're going to have that we did not respond to them. The bad memories of loved ones in hell are going to be the bad memories of those who, like us perhaps, are unsaved and headed for that destination of torment. There will be prayer in hell, but we must not get our hopes up. It's unheard, unanswered prayer. Sir, you are going to wish for an altar. The don't care attitude is going to wish for a couch or a chair to kneel by. And for anybody who went through the motions here, that's practice for hell, because that's what prayer in hell will be, just going through the motions. It won't really mean anything. There's faith in hell. There's faith. But it's not saving faith. We read it already. Hell believes in so many things that we believe in. It believes in prayer, but prayer won't do us any good in hell. Hell believes in mercy that we were singing about. You could sing this song that we sang today in hell. But it wouldn't do what it did to us a while ago. Because reach like you want for the mercy of God, it'll always be out of reach. wish like you want for the touch of God's presence, but wishing can't bring it there. There will be the Word of God there, the remembrance of it, repentance will be there, but it will all be wasted. It will be to no avail. That strong, passionate testify, or that message, I wish somebody would talk to me about my soul, or talk to me about heaven, or talk to me about hell. I wish somebody would preach that, and that might get a hold of my heart. And I believe I'm preaching to somebody today that has had some thoughts, you know, just the right message. And this isn't wrong to think this way. Just the right message is going to stir my soul. But I would just say, be careful about waiting for the special message. We have enough already from the Word of God. It doesn't have to be doctored up or outlined up by a preacher. There is enough in this word. I read enough today about hell that we're all going to stand in judgment with those verses that were read. We're going to want it. Let me just insert here, I want to want it now. You're going to wish you could hear that person who told you time and again, I'm praying for you. You're going to wish they could pray for you, and you could wish you could just hear that again. One of the torments of hell is going to be the torment of regret. Why didn't I respond to God when He dealt with me? I knew my mother and my grandmother and my father or my grandfather, my friends and my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister. I knew they were praying for me. So they still believe in prayer in hell. But one of the torments is the torment of the I think we are going to hear prayer in hell, not only of those who are trying to pray, but I think we're going to hear it in our minds. We're going to hear prayers that were prayed this very morning. Prayer, but not live prayer, but recorded by your mind and your memory. And I would offer again that any prayer prayed there will only be unanswered prayer. There will be repentance in hell, but no effective repentance. It will do no good. If you go to hell, this service and this opportunity for repentance is going to be in your mind. But I would quickly add, it could also be in your memory in heaven also. I'm so glad. Yeah, it's a strange title. Don't know if a pastor ought to use that as a title. But my little, quote, smart aleck answer to that would be, but yeah, that's the way you're living. You can request sermons in hell. In other words, attempt to hear what you want to hear. But the negative about hell is we're going to hear what we don't want to hear. Things like screams of torment or wailing of desperation and despondency. We'll have sight, but we won't enjoy what we see. We'll have feeling, but we won't enjoy that feeling the Bible describes as torments. By the way, that word literally means falling to the bottom. The most intense pain or depression or discouragement, emotional low that you have ever felt in this life isn't the bottom, but that torment in hell. And it doesn't just use the singular word, it uses the plural, multiple and many torments. Grief, sorrow, emotional. The glorious reality is that there really is a heaven. I know it's wild to read about it, and it seems too good to be true, but there really is a heaven. And you could turn this sermon around and preach another one. Is heaven really as good as we think it is? But my assignment today from the Lord is to talk about that horrifying flip side. There really is a heaven, but there really is everlasting judgment for those who reject God. Eternity, and especially from hell, sin that anybody may be struggling with is going to seem and be seen for exactly what it is. Society tends to look, and it creeps into the church, we tend to look at it as, well, we're just not perfect. It's an inconsequential part of life, and God can't be that serious, and He's a God of love. But sin is a serious affront to God. Those who have sinned and failed to live according to God's values and truth will be kept out of that holy place, heaven. The Lord will judge all of us according to what we have done. That's why a place of repentance is so important. And thank God there's still a space of repentance. Thank God there's still an altar. Thank God there's still the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. But only those who are born again, water baptized, and filled with the Spirit of God are going to be allowed heaven's entry. If you haven't repented today, I ask you, repent. In fact, I'll go further than that. I encourage and I implore you, repent. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, you must be baptized in the name of the Lord. Somebody might be able to waver in hell. Well, does it make any difference? It makes a difference because of what the Word of the Lord says. And no matter how good of a person that we are, you must have the infilling of the Holy Ghost that is initially evidenced by speaking with other tongues and then with righteousness, peace, and joy, and the fruit of the Spirit. Eternity has already started for so many people. I don't even know what number to throw out there. I think I could safely say that eternity has already started for billions of people. There's not a question whether there's an eternity. I know none of us have been there, and so somebody could argue it, but I'm just telling you, eternity has already, and if we could put a microphone in heaven or in hell, they could do a much better job with this message this morning that I'm doing. Just know, eternity has started. Heaven is already prepared, and hell is already prepared. Things are set for eternity. And those very sobering truths should cause us to almost literally tremble when we think of not submitting to the Lord Jesus. Peter wrote this: seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? If you really believe in God, heaven, and hell, you will make a response this morning. Now, I know the response that I would like to see. But I'm going to explain that statement, you will make a response. Because no response is a response. And you may do, if you normally do this, sit there or just go on out afterwards. That's your discretion and your choice. But I am telling you, there needs to be a response to say, God, draw me closer to you. God, impress upon me more than I have ever been impressed that you are real, your heaven is real, and the hell that had to be prepared for the devil and his angels, hell was not prepared. If you go to hell, you're going to somebody else's house. Because God didn't intend it for any of us. And if we believe in all of these things, this book says it'll impact what kind of life we live. Look, it doesn't matter whether I or you agree with it or not, if it's in the Word of the Lord. And here's what we also know. We could all come up with various justifications. Well, I had this family situation, and I had that family situation. But you know, one of the great surprises of hell, you know, we always talk about it may surprise you who ends up in hell. I'm going to tell you a greater surprise than that. It may surprise you who doesn't end up in hell. Because the enemy has given you his best shot, and you're still serving God. He thought what he did to you and your family would cause you to throw up your hands and give up your faith in God. But you said, no, I still love God more than all of that. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to do if I have to run to that altar. I need to pour out my heart. We are so stinking intimidated. And most by those who are sitting around us. And I'm going to tell you, there's not intimidation in hell. They're going to be screaming. They're going to be running. If anything even looks like an altar. So I would ask God to free us of intimidation, but he spoke to me and said, I want to free them, but they got to free themselves. It makes a difference whether we walk out of this room saved or lost today. And the judge of that is not you or I or how we feel or what we've been through or what we've not been through. The judge is right here, the Word of God. Look, I've been at it 38 years. And any of these men that preach would probably echo what I'm saying. You finally figure out, here's what I could say, and it'll make them feel good. Here's what I'm going to say, and I won't cross any feelings today. And any preacher that's wanting to cross feelings and wanting to do that stuff, he needs to fold his Bible and go sit down somewhere else. So I'm out here on a limb today. I know it. But they say that's where the fruit is. I know one thing. On that day, I'm not going to be one bit sorry about this day. I'm sorry I even used that word smart aleck. I'm not trying to be smart aleck. God's trying to save somebody. Not just somebody, he's trying to save all of us. Because none of us have it made. Hell is tricky and the devil is sly. And if he could get us to think and minimize small things like the fingertip and like a drop of water on the fingertip, and oh, it don't make that much difference whether I'm praying. It doesn't make that much difference. I want my family to be saved. I want my wife. I want Amber. I want Andrea, Lisa, and Chris. I want Phil, and Cheryl, Terry. And I may do what that rich man did if I end up in hell. I may do that, but it wouldn't do any good then, Phil. It wouldn't do any good then, Amber. If I let you do what you want to do and try to leave you alone down here in hell, all I, oh God, send somebody to Phil's house, send somebody to where Amber lives, send somebody to Beck. Send somebody to Dad. That ain't going to get it. I need to do the praying I need to do for my family now. And I know the Lord uses these things, but I just need to rip the cover off of this. Don't wait for some tragedy. Be faithful daily. Pray daily. And then when the tragedy comes, don't you hold back and don't you stop and don't you feel guilty because you started doing it. If that's the time you choose to start, you start then. But somehow, some way, and I believe right now there are souls that are hanging in the balance. If somebody would come to an altar and pray. Somebody would say, God. Somebody just lay out before the Lord and say, God, I don't know. I don't know. I want to do my part. I want to love them. I want to help them. I want to give them that grace. I want to give them that mercy. I want to show them forgiveness. But Lord, help them to be sensitive to you. There are people that are feeling this right now. You need to respond to it right now. Yeah. You see, we'll wish we had in hell. Or when they end up there. But God said, here's an opportunity right now. I love you. I love those that you love. That's a great thing. Not only do you love them, God loves the one you love. God loves them. God loves them. Don't let intimidation steer you away from intercession. It's either intercession or intimidation today. It's either intimidation or consecration today. Make the choice. Yeah, hell's going to have weeping and wailing. But what about heaven and what about the church? And what about those of us who are trying to stay out of hell and keep others out of hell? Oh, yes. Oh, Yadabohaya. That's it. Pray for the reality of hell to be revealed. Pray for the reality of heaven to be revealed. Pray for the reality of his love to be revealed. God, impact me today. Impact me today, Lord. Impact me today. Oh, God, we can't wait. We can't wait. We can't wait. We can't wait. Oh, God. God, we can't do it business as usual. We can't do it business as usual. Oh, God. Oh, God. That's it. Connect with heaven and God right there. Go ahead. Make it a personal connection.